Who's been on our session before? Maybe last year?
Anybody come to our session last year?
Raise your hands if you've been
really?
In our session.
It's because these guys are out of
kind
of
know what to
yeah.
expect. All right. For those of you who have not, I am sorry, but it's going to be an interesting ride for you, and you'll see why here soon. Shall we, sir?
Yeah, let's get started.
All right, let's do it.
We want first to thank Bon Jovi for opening for us yesterday.
That was nice.
That was really nice of him. We appreciate that. This is SharePoint 2013, Fun with Social, CSOM, and Windows 8.
Yeah, we were going to name it with SharePoint Social and CSOM, but they made us change it to Fun.
They said it had to be Fun. So if it's not Fun, it's not our fault. You know.
Yeah, so who are you, man?
I am Mark Rackley. I work for Summit 7 Systems. We actually have a booth down the exhibitor hall. It's 468. Feel free to stop by, say hi.
The most S's ever.
Most S's ever. I can add more.
Okay.
And I am a developer and solutions architect. And this is a developer session.
My name is Eric Harlan. I am a infrastructure, keep that in mind, SharePoint PFE out of North America and the central region, so like Texas and Oklahoma and that sort of thing. So.
Yeah, so even though he's not a developer, any good developer needs an even better IT pro, right? So he's going to help.
At least equal.
I'd say better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when things screw up, he's going to be here to help me figure out why it screwed up and tell me what stupid things I did wrong. So he plays a vital role.
Just to kind of preface, right, this is not the typical session that you guys are just going to get preached to the entire time. We like to have fun, and we're going to have fun. If you don't have fun, that's okay, because we'll just have fun and look crazy, and it's okay. But if you have fun, we have some stuff to give away, and we'll be running up and down the aisles like morons. So hopefully you enjoy yourself. Hopefully it's not going to be the typical. And hopefully you can see me over these large screens. They do not make this very well for short people. So.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
You're not much taller, man.
I know.
What? Yeah. Oh.
Where's what?
Oh, the like button's coming, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that? That's okay. You don't want to see us anyway. All right. So what are we going to build? We are going to build a snazzy little application. It's essentially going to be a tweet deck for SharePoint 2013. So if you're familiar with Twitter and how that works, if you're not familiar with Twitter, you're about to get a crash course in what it kind of does. But we're going to be feeding in all of our content from the social features of SharePoint 2013 to build that out. And we like to show what we're building first, so you guys have a context of what it's going to be and be able to follow that context throughout the whole demo so you know what the end result's going to be. Hopefully, if we get to the end result and
Absolutely.
It's the same, right?
Yeah. If you can stop rambling.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
So the other side of it is there's huge bets on social. Obviously, we've been hearing social all week long. That's not going to be any different in our session. We have to talk a little bit about it because of some of the things we're going to be doing. So we're going to do a quick overview of some of the social features as it relates to our demo. So hopefully you've been exposed otherwise.
Right. And then we're going to talk about the client object model. Who are my developers in here? Are you guys mostly developers? All right. Rock on. You guys rock.
If you're not, that's okay. That's why I'm here and we can all relate.
So yeah. So we're briefly going to go over the client object model. I'm not going to go into much depth. There's several sessions on the client object model. And we're also going into an overview of WinRT development and what that means and what you can do there. And then we're going to dive right into building this Windows Store application piece by piece. You guys are going to get to go through exactly the same pain I went through building this, right? You're going to see some of the errors I went through. You're going to see some of the headaches. And so when you see that, you know at least half of the errors you see are planned, at least half. But that's what we'll be doing at the end there.
Just half of them?
At least half.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
So let's show you what the application is first, so you guys have that context, and then we'll go from there. Okay.
Hit the Windows key.
Yeah. All right. Let's jump on over here to our app, and we'll fire this thing up. This picture was taken last year, actually,
at
Anaheim.
Jump shot from Disneyland last year.
All right. So you'll kind of recognize what most of this looks like. If you've been using TweetDeck at any capacity in the past, you'll kind of notice this color scheme. So essentially what we have a news feed, and this is our news feed. We're pulling from SharePoint 2013. Some of our comments and posts, and we got some reply ability. We have the ability to like. We also have the ability to look at the documents, sites, users, and the tags that we're following within SharePoint 2013. So this is, you know, the concept of this is You don't always have to be within SharePoint to be able to consume SharePoint data, and especially that's the case with a lot of the social features as well. So shall we create a new post?
Yeah, go for it.
All right.
I hope it doesn't break this time.
Okay. Let's see.
20.
207. Okay. Yeah, this is the year 207. You didn't know that? So we'll post this back. It'll fire and refresh.
Right.
There we go.
It's actually posting back.
There we go. So this actually is posting back to our 2013 environment in our news feed, and we'd be able to see that, as Mark will show you here.
Yes. If we actually go to our news feed, you can see that.
Do a quick refresh.
Is anything quit?
Nothing is quick.
Okay. And then as it reloads the news feed, you can see there's new post, SPC207.
And we're going to tell you how all this stuff is happening behind the scenes. So we're just kind of showing you an idea of what's going on.
Yeah, so when all is said and done, we're going to build that application for you guys. Any questions? Great.
Moving on.
Moving on.
All right. So the other side thing is, if we see people falling asleep, we're not going to gingerly lob the five-hour energies that we have at you. We'll chuck them at you, and hopefully we'll wake you up in one way or the other. Otherwise, we'll just be passing them out. All right, so what is social in 2013? Just a brief overview, and I know Mark hates it when I go into this because I think it's important and he doesn't think it's so important, but it is important to take into context.
I want to get to the code.
Yeah, I know you do, but there's plenty of time for that. In 2007, I always got asked, do we have to have my sites in 2007? And my answer standard was, no, you don't have to. You can use SharePoint without it. And that was a good standard answer for 2007. In 2010, that changed because a lot of the features were interconnected. You know, you'd be able to trickle up data better within search based on tagging and ranking and that sort of thing. So my standard answer in 2010 was, you'd be doing a disservice if you didn't use it, but you can still go on without it. In 2013, indeed, you can go on without it, but it's even more of a disservice if you don't. So there's a lot of stuff that's interdependent, and it all matters at the end of the day. So if you really are asking yourself that question, and or fighting that battle in your own enterprise, because it happens all the time, you know, people ask, well, we don't really want to be social. There's a whole lot more to it than just sharing pictures, sharing, you know, vacation stuff. So,
yeah.
Good?
Yeah.
All right.
Go ahead.
So let's talk about just some of the brief things that we're going to be doing within our demo. And this is not the whole stack of social, so we don't have to worry about that. So we're going to cover likes, ratings, feeds, reputations, and mentions. So there's something called the micro feed within 2013. And basically everything that's going on within your environment, what you're liking, what you're following, and that sort of thing, gets stored to this micro feed. It's essentially a SharePoint list. The good thing about that, and we'll talk more about that here in a second, but the good thing about why it's being stored inside of SharePoint is because we're taking the aspects of social and we're taking the aspects of SharePoint and we're meshing them together. So everything still applies to anything that lives within a SharePoint environment. So permission trimming, who can see what, and that sort of thing. So you're not always going to see everything that someone you follow likes, because if it's permission trimmed that you can't see it, it wouldn't show up for you. So there's a lot of functionality still built into the social aspect of it. The at mention dropdown, and we'll go into a little bit here. Actually, I'll just click over to our demo box here real quick and show you guys what's going on here. So we have our news feed. Here's our news feed, and we'll talk about our micro feed as well. But something that's really cool that I think Mark and I like to talk about is, so an at mention, if you haven't been using Facebook or Twitter within the last 5 years, I guess at this point, an at mention is a way to specifically call someone out, say, I want to reference you in whatever I'm saying in this post, and they would actually get an alert to actually see that someone has at mentioned them. Same exact thing in SharePoint 2013, but the cool thing is, when you start to at mention somebody, it's pulling data from the user profile, so anyone who has a user profile will be available to be at mentioned. And I bring that up because think about the availability to do federation, right? So we can go out, and we don't have to have just our intranet or our users. If we're doing federation with other environments and other organizations, we can have them at mention within our user profile as well. So it's social beyond your own bounds of your environment. Good stuff? All right, let's bring it back. All right, so there's another aspect, again, the SharePoint aspect of things, being able to follow some of the new sites that we're having with the rollout of 2013, some of the site definitions that we get. how users are interacting with documents, and essentially recommendations of content from SharePoint to that end user. And just real quickly, we have a couple new site definitions that we have. The community-driven site, that's just a way to get content bubbled up from multiple different places with in regard to the context of who you are and what kind of information you want to consume. If you've been on a discussion board website or forum within the past 20 years, I guess, we're actually getting some really good functionality around that. Everything is essentially following the same paradigm of what bulletin boards have been doing for a long time. So being able to reward people for, you know, positively answering a question or giving points or achievements even, you can have a whole like Xbox theme achievement system. If Mark says something smart about IT Pro, he can get an achievement.
It can happen.
Maybe not, but anyway. The other piece that I really like to talk about is, I don't know if you guys have heard, and if you have, great. If you haven't, this is probably pretty important. There's some features that have stayed, some have gone away, and some have been integrated in different ways. The web analytics service application has been done away with, but the metric collection is still there. It's actually being done within the search service application. And that's important to bring up because as people are recommending things and they're ranking things, tagging, liking, and all that stuff, and I do a search on something, all that information is being referenced as to what information may be shown to me at that point of search results, and it can do recommendations as well. So it's really smart recommendations outside of just, well, this content is kind of like the content you're looking for, but this is saying, well, Mark thought this was really important. He liked it. He's following it. And I know you guys do a lot of work together, so maybe this might be important as well. So that information can be bubbled up both within your My Site as well as in search results. And then some more of the, you know, like the specifics and how processes things work. Let's go into this guy. So let's show our micro feed here. I told you guys this was a list. You guys got that up. Great.
Right.
So if we go into our site contents here. And something really important to note, let me see where this guy is at.
Right there, microfeed.
Oh, right in front of my face?
Yeah, right in front of your face.
I was looking at this in a lot of the demo tests that we've done, and it's been in a different location because of resolution. Anyway, you'll see that cleverly hidden by my cursor, which I should probably move, 139 items. So there's a lot of interaction that's been going on in this demo site with liking things and following and posts and that sort of thing, and all that stuff gets stored within the microfeed list. You're being really quiet.
I'm learning stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what we've seen so far, and this may change with how things, you know, bubble out, but these two list items seem to be persistent within the microfeed list. But if we go into them, we'll actually be able to see all the things that we've been talking about, all of our likes, the type, the blog, the microblog type, which assuming is alluding to what type of object is being stored in there, whether it's a like, whether it's a follow, and that sort of thing. But all of it, you can see, is persistent within this list. And that's important because we're going to be referencing that within building our application. Should we talk about App Fabric a little bit?
Go for it.
All right, so
yeah.
The App Fabric, so there's probably whole sessions on just App Fabric, and you guys have probably been exposed to that pretty heavily at this point, being Wednesday. The best way, if you haven't been exposed to it, to really understand what the App Fabric is if you think about it in terms of state memory for social interactions, right? So as someone is liking something or posting something, it gets stored within state memory. That's the App Fabric, and being able to be referenced later. But it doesn't stay there forever, right? So there's a timer job called the Activity Gatherer that every X amount of minutes, which is configurable, clears out that App Fabric cache. So it's kind of like if you're watching a Twitter column and you know you're following the SPC 2012 or SPC 12 column, that's going so fast, like at Bon Jovi concert last night, I couldn't even keep up. But you don't really understand or need to have that understanding of the context of what happened 10 minutes ago. So that's always being refreshed and it's not persistent. Makes sense to you?
That makes sense to me.
All right, that was a lot of IT Pro stuff. You all right?
Yeah, okay. A little dizzy.
Okay. Well,
can we talk code now?
Yeah, we can talk
all right.
Code.
So the other piece of this is we're going to be using the client-side object model to actually get our data in and out of SharePoint. And client-side object model is, if you're unfamiliar with it, it just allows you to develop applications and you don't have to actually develop on the server. These were first introduced in 2010, but they've been greatly expanded on in 2013. And like with the stuff they're doing with social, which is really, really good stuff. And you can now utilize REST and OData. So that's also a great benefit. What are you posting there?
Oh, you'll see.
Okay, all right. So this is what the client object model looked like in 2010. You had your JavaScript library, your Silverlight library, and your .NET library. And these communicated on your behalf to the client.svc web service, which is located at vti underscore bin of your site. Right? So in 2013, it doesn't look a whole lot different, except now you have this OData, and you also have it going to underscore API. This is actually mapped to vti bin client service. So it's going to the same place. They've just mapped it for you to make it a little bit more friendly for you to get there. So we still have client, SharePoint client, SharePoint client runtime for our CSOM DLLs, but now we have some more. We have the user profile DLL, which we're going to be using today for all our social features. Allows you to do follows, likes, unlikes. This is where everything takes place. And then there's some other libraries that are new, document management, publishing, and taxonomy. But besides them being on this slide, they don't exist anywhere in our session, so sorry. So CSOM still works the same way it did in 2010. If you liked it in 2010, if you were comfortable with it in 2010, you're going to be fine in 2013. You're going to be grand and ready to go. You create your context, you build your request, and you execute your query. The same recipe you use over and over with the client object model. But now we've got more stuff we can do. One of the big things we'll be using is a social feed manager.
What's that do?
Well, it gets your feeds. The social feed.
Okay,
manager.
So whenever someone likes something or follows you or that sort of thing?
So you can read.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
So I'm just assuming, you
right.
know, because
yeah.
yours is probably always empty. No Thanks. One really wants to follow or like you at any point, so.
Thanks.
Appreciate yeah, no that. Problem.
Okay.
I read that.
Best humor is self-deprecating humor.
Yep.
Okay. You also have the social following manager. Just like its name, this allows you to get followed content.
I got nothing on that
You
one.
Can get, good.
Okay.
All right. So you get your sites you're following, users you're following, documents you're following, and tags. There's a social actor object. An actor is a user, a site, a document, or a tag. And then you have social posts, and these are your actual newsfeed posts. It's got the text for the post, it's got the attachment information, it's got the like information. So we're going to be using these objects for doing everything we're doing within the user profile DLL. Here's an example query using the client object model. You can see we are creating our context, and we're passing to it portal.contoso.com. You'll also notice that's Well, you may not notice because you don't know this. This is not the URL to the My site where we actually go to for the news feeds. This is the URL to our portal home, our corporate site. You don't have to put the URL to your My site in, although that will work as well. But I find that kind of nice because I'm a lazy guy and I may know the URL to our site but not the My site, so it saves me a step.
You don't have to tell them. They're going to pick that theme up, no problem.
Good deal. So you can see I'm creating my social feed manager. I'm also creating some feed options. These feed options allow you to say, I only want to see the feed items that are newer than a certain date, older than a certain date, only return 2 at a time, 5 at a time. So it allows you to control how much data you're getting back. We're then calling get feed, but then again, it's a client object, we have to actually execute the query to get the data back. Right? So this is kind of the same stuff we're going to be doing for the rest of our code. Quickly talk about WinRT. It is a different beast if you've never done it before. WinRT is a cross-platform application architecture written on Windows 8. They natively support both x86 and ARM architectures, so the application we're building today would work on your Surface if you could get it loaded on your Surface, but side-loading applications is a huge pain if anybody's tried it. You've tried it, because I can tell. Yeah. So I wasn't able to show you the demo on the Surface today. I apologize for that. You can write using C#, VB.NET. You can use JavaScript. We will be using JavaScript. And you can use C++ in a thing called CX. I've never used CX before, so I couldn't tell you exactly what that is. It runs inside a sandbox environment to allow for greater security and stability. So, again, sloppy developers aren't breaking as much stuff. I'm not one of those.
Sure.
Now what are you typing?
You'll find out.
Okay, let's talk a little about WinRT and JavaScript. So you can use JavaScript to develop your WinRT applications. When you're doing your visuals for your Windows Store apps, you can use JavaScript or XAML. I am not as proficient at XAML as I am at JavaScript, so I chose JavaScript for you guys. I hope you like it. You can use, it's HTML5 and CSS3 are supported. jQuery works really well. We'll be using jQuery as well. And you get a new control called WinJS, which adds a bunch of new controls for you. That link there takes you to a list of those controls. Some quirks about doing JavaScript, though, you cannot reference your JavaScript files externally. You cannot use those files on the content delivery network. They have to be local to your project. All the files that you need for your project have to exist with your project. You can't create new windows in JavaScript and WinRT, so you can't do alerts. You can't do prompts. You can't do open, move by. So you're going to get kind of frustrated doing some of the stuff you're used to, but you will find ways around it.
What? Mark, somebody was yawning while you were talking. Here it comes. Yep, you know it. 5 hour coming at you. Better catch. Somebody help her.
Oh, you almost took her head off.
She's awake now.
Okay. So also, script injection is not allowed. You're going to be doing some things that you've normally done in JavaScript, and all of a sudden you're going to get an error, unable to put in dynamic content. It's going to drive you crazy because, like, I'm not trying to put dynamic content. I'm just trying to put my attribute in there. But there are certain elements, attributes, and CSS properties that you cannot use in WinRT because it is trying to stop script injection. You're also going to find that some of your favorite jQuery libraries, third-party libraries, may not work either because they're doing things with those elements and attributes or properties that WinRT does not allow. So that'll make you sad. This link down here has a list of all the elements, attributes, and properties affected. It's a good read. Whenever you've got some time to read, it's a long read. So let's actually get into this stuff and build it for you guys.
It's a good thing we brought duct tape.
Let's get some code. All right. So let's start up. I'm using Visual Studio Express.
It's
free. Yes, so everything I'm doing, you can do for free. I encourage you to actually do this at home.
So I'm going to have to edit my my normal tweet that SharePoint Designer is free. So I'm going to have to add Visual Studio Express as well.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to do a new project. What's that? Yeah. True.
What did he say?
It's also free of design features.
There you go.
So we're going to...
As an employee of Microsoft.
We're going to do it. This is Visual Studio Express, and that's how it comes natively. So I don't know how to do this stuff. I'm a developer.
He's not a designer.
So we're going to do a blank Java Store, or JavaScript Windows Store application. We will call it SPC207. So we'll create that. Gonna take a second here. You can all point and laugh at Eric while we wait. Thank you.
Nobody?
Let me go ahead and get some stuff up.
Oh, sure. Nice.
Excuse me. All right. So you can see that we have some default files that get created. Can you guys see that all right? Let me go a little bit bigger. All right. So we have some default files that get created for us, a default JS that has some activation stuff it needs to do. You get some CSS files. You get a couple of images. This is where you get the images for your splash screen and your icon and stuff. These are all part of the project. And then we have a default HTML file, which just has plain HTML file. You can see that it has our references to some of our scripts we're using, has reference to our CSS, and our default JS, and there's just some content. So I can change this content to be Eric wishes he was a dev. And when I run it, the little run button.
My job would be much easier, that's for sure. Oh.
And your pay rate would go up.
Yeah, that's okay. And look at that splash icon.
And you can see it says Eric wishes he was a dev. We've now built our first JavaScript Windows Store application, right?
Okay, thanks everybody for coming. Really appreciate the time.
It really doesn't get better than that, so it's just a... First demo worked. All right. Woo-hoo. Now we are going to create a Windows runtime component. This is how we can write our C# code that our JavaScript code can call into. So I'm going to stop my project here.
There you go. Thanks for stopping it.
Thank you.
Why do you want to stop them?
Because you can't do it unless you stop it.
Yeah.
All right. So we want to add a new project to our solution. We're going to select Visual C# Windows Runtime Components. And let's go ahead and call this CSOM. You guys taking notes? There will be a test. You're going to fail.
It will be a very easy test.
All right, so here's our empty class. Let's go ahead and rename it. I don't like class one. We'll just call it social. Yes. All right. So here is our empty Windows Runtime Component Library. I'm going to add the DLLs we need for the client object model. So we go to our project. We're going to add reference. Let me browse for those. This browse button. And they are right here. We're going to add the client, runtime, and user profile DLLs.
Simple enough. I'm following so far.
All right, yeah. It's so easy, even an IT pro can do it. All right, we're going to add the usings that we need for that. See, we're adding system.net, so we can, for our credentials, we're adding client and client social, because this is the social session, if you remember properly. Right?
Are you feeling social?
A little bit. So here we have a static method that we're going to create that's going to call. You can see it's creating our client context, passing default credentials, creating our social following manager, and then it's calling social following manager get followed of types all. So it's going to get everything we're following. And you see it returns this type of client result social actor. And we're just going to return that after we execute the query. Make sense? No? Does it make sense? No, they don't have actresses. Sorry. I couldn't think of anything witty to say. I was going to try to think of something witty, but it didn't work. So let's go ahead and build this. Oh, and I got an error.
All right. What'd you do?
It says it is not a valid Windows runtime parameter type.
I bet I know what's wrong.
What's wrong, Eric?
It looks to me like there's not a valid Windows runtime type.
Good job. Yeah.
We didn't script that at all.
Yeah. So if you have a public method and a Windows runtime component library, you have to return a valid Windows runtime component type.
I'll keep you in line.
The client result is not a Windows runtime type, so I cannot return that publicly. If this was a private method, it would work, but since it's public, I can't. So I've got to do something else to get my data back out externally. What are we going to do that, Eric, huh?
We didn't practice that far.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So what I'm going to do, let's get rid of this one.
Let's go private.
Go private. I am going to create a class. Well, this screen is small. Also, you notice I'm pulling my class out. You cannot have nested classes either. So that's something else you have to be aware of. So I've got a class here which is going to have the ID for our followed content, the type it is, the name it is, and the URI for it. Now I've changed my static method, stop scrolling, to return an array of that class. An array is a valid Windows runtime component type, so I can return that externally. So same code, calling the get followed and everything, creating an array that is the length of the returned items, actors.value.length, and now I iterate through over each actor and stick it into my array, and I return that array. So it will like that. Let's build that. It should like that. And it succeeded. So yay, there was much rejoicing.
All right. For those who are listening, there was 300 people clapping right there.
Yes. All right, so now we need to call this from our JavaScript project. The first thing we need to do is add a reference to our runtime library to our project so it can use it. So let's go to our JavaScript project. We're going to add a reference.
Down.
Oh, thank you. And I'm going to go to the solution, and we're going to add CSOM as a reference. So now I can execute those methods. Let me add another file real quick to our program. Add new item, JavaScript file. Oh, what did I do?
Sublime Razor.
That's fine. We'll still call it script.js. All right, and I've got a little method here called getFollowedContent.
Who wants one?
And you can see getFollowedContent, it's calling our CSOM object. And what's nice is we even get a telesense with this. So I can type in CSOM.
Don't walk in front
of the speakers. Whoa.
Nobody needs any 5-hour energy
That's the 12-hour energy. All right, so I get CSOM, it sees CSOM.
Wait, you're using IntelliSense?
Do you even know what
IntelliSense is? Your job doesn't get any easier, man.
No, I know, look. I got social, and now I can say get followed content. I don't have to think anymore. I mean, it works really well.
And the
IntelliSense even works really well with the JavaScript, too. So I can do document dot get element by ID. So I get really good IntelliSense with JavaScript, too. So all you people making fun of JavaScript saying, oh, it's not a real language, it's acting more like a real language to me. So after we get that followed content, we're going to iterate over that array of followed content, and we're just going to append it to an output div. That's what we're doing here with the script. I don't know why it keeps shrinking. So you can see there, get element by ID output. And just appending the name of it, the content index.name. And I even get IntelliSense on what's in the class, index dot, look at that, name. So I even get there. It's cool. I like it. I'm sorry. Devs like weird stuff, don't we? All right. What was that peanut gallery? All right, so let's go to the default HTML page. And I want to add a button. So when I click the button, it's going to call a function to get followed content, and there's the output div we did. So let's run this. Did I forget anything? Oh, I do need to add a reference to my script.js I just added. You notice I add that script.js file? But we now have to tell our file that, hey, you can use script.js. So let's drag. And see, look, I can drag and drop script.js, and it puts the reference. I don't have to type in that even.
Correction, your job did get easier.
All right, so let's run it.
People think we script this. We don't. This is total ad hoc.
Shh, it might work.
All right.
Oh, would you like to see that? All right. What do I follow?
Click the button. What'd you do, man?
All right. Unable to connect to the remote server.
I know. I was paying attention.
Okay.
I was paying attention.
All right, what's the problem?
I'm pretty sure that it cannot see it because you're on a private network.
Okay, what does that mean?
So open up your application manifest.
Okay.
See, I shouldn't know this stuff.
App manifest.
Maybe.
Okay.
Capabilities.
Capabilities.
And we need to put a checkbox there next to enterprise auth and our private networks. And that's going to let you see, or that's going to let the app actually interact with the network that you're on.
Oh, so it allows communication. Yeah. You have to specifically tell it to allow the communication to take place. Oh, that makes sense.
I want everything, and I want it now.
Gosh. All right. Is that
it again. Yep, try.
It's going to work?
Yep.
You sure?
Maybe.
All right. Oh, it didn't crash yet.
Yet.
Oh,
there's
the stuff I'm following. So you can see the users were following, the sites, the documents were following, and the tags were following in a nice, ugly list. So we've written a JavaScript app. We've written a Windows Runtime Component app.
You would not make any money off of this app at this point.
It's going to make millions.
It's pretty.
Dozens of dollars. And we have communicated with the client object model and put data back out into a JavaScript. So, right, we've basically done everything that we're going to do for this demo. We're just going to make it look pretty now and add more functionality and do stuff. So it really doesn't get better than this, but okay. It's pretty, isn't it? You can tell a developer did it, not a designer. Thank you very much.
Very metro.
All right, so I also want to point out when you're debugging your applications, you can actually set breakpoints in your JavaScript and step through your JavaScript, and you can set breakpoints in your C code in the same solution and step through the C code. However, you can't step through both of them at the same time, only one at a time. So what you have to do to even pick that is you go to your project, and you go to the project's properties. Then under debugging, you see it says debugger type script only. Then you see managed only. So you will check one of those for depending on which code you want to step through and debug. You also see one that says mixed, managed, and native. That doesn't work, so. Well, it doesn't work the way I expected it to work. I'm sure it works exactly the way they designed it to work. So I thought mixed meant, I can do both, but that's not what it means.
These are recorded.
I know. I said that. So I'm like, that's
You're
recorded
gonna get me fired.
For perpetuity now. All right, so let's make this thing look a little prettier. So now we're going to add jQuery to the project because jQuery actually works really good with this stuff. So this is going to take a few minutes to add some files. You want to Because I've got
some feedback going again.
I've got to add all the images that I'm going to add jQuery UI, which is a utility library that has some cool stuff. And I'm going to add another jQuery library called Simple Modal that I'm going to use for modal windows since I can't do alerts. And I'm going to add the CSS and images for all that. So
the only reason why we do these sessions is to give away stuff that we don't want.
I know. These have been in my closet for months. So
All right. These are SharePoint Saturday
Ozarks.
Ozark shirts.
Yes. Cool. Thank you very much.
They are the coolest.
All right. I'm going to go. Feel free to tweet that.
Yeah, that's about right.
All right. So let's go into our project. I'm just going to paste those here. Are you following this, Lori? Are you able to follow what I'm doing? Some of it? That's good, good. Hey, I want to be able to help people learn stuff, right? Oh. So I'll have to show all files. Now I can just come in here and say include in project. That's easier than browsing the stuff for me and dragging all that stuff. Is that you, Eric? You guys having a good conference so far? Yeah?
It's been fun. Thanks.
All right. So I've included those files. And I've got, now I'm going to add them to the actual, reference them so I can use them now. So let's add jQuery. Let's add jQuery UI. Let's add simple modal for my modal windows.
They're making fun of you back here.
They're making fun of me?
Yeah.
Is it because I'm so good looking?
I doubt it.
Oh. All right. So in our style sheets. So I've got all that added, all that stuff referenced, and I'm now going to add the information I need to create those tabs we saw at the end of when you saw the whole program. Now, using jQuery UI, it has a certain layout it's looking for list items, and it will take that and convert it to tabs. So you see we have a list item here. We have a list item for newsfeed, documents, sites, users, and tags. So we're going to have a tab for each of those. We then have a div for each of those because that's where the content for that tab goes. We have a div for document, div for site, div for user, and div for tag. So it's going to create tabs. It's going to put them in it for that information to go to. All right? Okay. Now, let's change our get followed content.
This is very Julia Childs of you.
Is it?
Yeah, pulling the pre-baked cake out of the oven.
This isn't really pre-baked. It's half-baked.
No, it's good. We wouldn't want to be seeing you code this anyway. We would never get anywhere.
All right. And so now I've changed my function of get followed content. So what it's doing now is it's going through each item that's followed. And you see I'm using jQuery to find the tab that has the ID that's the same type as the name. And this is how I'm a lazy programmer again, right? I've got a tab with the ID of document. So I know that's also a type. So I can just say, give me the tab that is of element.document. And I don't have to say, well, if the type equals document, then use tag document. If type equals, so I'm just being a lazy coder there. And then I am going to have a simple link with the name of the thing we're following and a link attached to it of what it is we're following. So we can click on what we're following and it'll take us there. All right? Make sense? Any questions so far?
Oh, they're all got questions.
We're just trying to figure you out. Because if it was green, we wouldn't know when to stop mowing the lawn.
Whose idea was it to bring black shirts in in a very dark room filled with thousands of people?
All right. And so we're adding to my default JS, I'm adding this jQuery document ready. And what this is for your...
Wake up!
This is where your script starts executing after everything's loaded up. I always use document.ready because it's kind of like my main. I know if I look for document.ready, this is where my script executes. You don't have to use it, but it makes my life easier. We're calling the .tabs method. This is calling into that jQuery UI to create the tabs for us, and then we're calling our get followed content function. So if you run that
there at some point, I will hit that back row.
They'll hit back. All right, so now we have tabs. Woo, nice, pretty tabs. And we can see the documents that we're following are in the documents, the sites that we're following are in the sites, users, tags, right? And I can even click on the document, and it will, like, open up that image into the browser so we can see, yeah. Yeah, this is what Sean thinks about.
That's not what he thinks about.
He's a pescatarian, so that makes it even more funny. All right. So, back to code. Are you still throwing shirts?
You brought like 50 of them.
My wife said I had to get rid of all of them,
I don't want to walk out there because I'm scared of the feedback thing again.
All right. Next, what are we going to do? Huh? What are we going to do next? Whoa. Good throw.
Thanks.
So now that you've basically seen everything we're going to do, I'm going to go ahead and add the rest of our client object model code all at once. So let's go to our social CS, and I'll walk you through what that does. We still have our followed content class, and we also have a class here called news article, and this is the class we built to hold all of our news feed information. You can see it's got the ID of the news feed. We need this ID so we can reply to something and like something. It's got the author's name, image. It's got the post, the like count, picture, reply count, and we also have an array of replies. And a reply is also just a news article because it's got the same information. I also changed the social class to where you have to instantiate it because we need that social feed manager to be persistent. What? More energy? Is that what that means? More energy?
I'm falling asleep.
Okay, sorry.
Here you go.
The social feed manager needs to be persistent. Whenever you're liking or replying to a post, you have that current post you're liking has to be in your context, right? If you've got the ID of your post, you can't say create context like post with the ID. It'll blow up. It says, I don't know what post you're talking about. So we're going to keep the social feed manager global. It's going to persist for the life of the object. So when we like and reply to something, it knows what we're like and replying to.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So when we create the object, what's that? Air comment?
No, they're totally seeing through my...
Okay. So here is our get news function. You can see it returns an array of news articles. It looks very similar to the follow, except we're using the social feed options and saying, sort them by modified time. So when someone replies to something, it's going to move that post back to the top of the list and keep the most active things at the top. Executing the query, creating the array, and then we've got a couple of functions to go through and actually fill out those arrays for us. Goes through the root post, goes through the author information, and does the same thing for the replies. So it builds up that array of information for us. We also have a method for get full thread. By default, when you get a newsfeed back, it only comes with two replies. So if there's more than two replies, it still only comes with two replies. That makes sense because if you've got hundreds of replies, you don't want to send all that data over the wire if you're not really going to be reading all the replies. So there is this method, though. Say, oh, I want to know why I got 37 comments when I was making fun of somebody on Facebook. You can say, give me the full thread, and it'll go and give you all the replies for that.
Context. I love it.
Context?
Yeah, it's one of the biggest things about social media that's so challenging is keeping context of changing stuff.
Right. So we're going to like. Here's the function to like. We call socialfeedmanager.likePost. It doesn't get much easier than that, .likePost. It's like these people knew what they were doing. We also have a function for creating a post where we have the ID of the post text, and the image, your eye of the post. So when you're creating a post, luckily, again, for lazy developers, it's the same method for when you're creating a reply or creating a new post. If the ID is null, it's considered to be a new post. If there is an ID, it's considered to be a reply, and we'll create a reply.
That's simple.
Simple.
Null, new.
Null, new, not null, reply.
Not null. Okay.
Yep. So if there's an attachment, I'm creating a social attachment because it's social and it's an attachment. And then we call create post, right? And it's going to return that one post to it so we can put it into our display.
You know what we should have did is we should have had some beverages. And every time you say social, we should all just like take a drink.
That's what I'm doing. Okay. So that's what that's doing. Let's rebuild that to make sure I didn't screw that up because it's possible. All right. Now we have our change to our JavaScript file. So what we're doing here is you're seeing something you shouldn't see yet. I'm now going to, at first, create this object, this CSOM object. We're going to make it global because, again, it needs to persist for the lifetime of our application so we can do our likes and replies and stuff. So when the user starts the application, we're going to create the object, and then we're going to call our getFollowedContent, our same getFollowedContent function, and then this new one called Get News Feed. So Get News Feed is going to call Get News. It's going to return an array of our news feed, and then I'm going to store those articles in a list item, as list items. So that way I can do other stuff to them later to make them look pretty. So here we have build post display, and you can see some really ugly but basic HTML. So basically, each post is a list item with the author's image, the picture, the name, and then the reply is actually stored as a table within that list item so you can keep the replies separate. I highly recommend that you do something with templating here maybe to make this look prettier, make it flow better.
Hire a designer.
Yes. But I like keeping things simple when I'm learning it especially. So it's just pretty much straight HTML here. And then I'm returning that list item. So I'm creating a list item for every newsfeed. All right.
Believe it or not, I still follow.
You're still following it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So now we want to go to our default JS. Instead of calling get followed content, we want to call login. Right? Let's run it. See if I forgot to do anything.
Awesome splash image.
Ah, and there's all of our followed content.
Yeah, that is pretty
ugly. Right? And you can see that it's really ugly, and you can't scroll, and it's just not formatted well at all. Right? So I'm a...
Spell concert wrong.
What's that? I don't know. I didn't try that. That's a good idea.
What was the question?
Can you use a data-bound control for this?
A data-bound control? Yes.
That's an...
I have no idea. I have no idea.
I would assume so. All right, but I'm not. That'd be too easy. All right, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to show you how important CSS is. All I'm going to do now...
Hey, there's a CSS designer in the house.
Is there? Who's CSS? Oh, I bet there is. And she's going to tell... Oh, she's going to tell me about my bad color choices, too, aren't you?
I don't want to say specifically just a CSS. I'm sure there's a lot of other work that goes into it. But I know she knows it. She's helped me.
She's smiling now. I see her. All right, so I'm going to go through... See, now I'm all nervous that she's here because it's like, she's like, oh, that's, yeah. That's bad. I wouldn't
do that. You've
already
showed how ugly it was, so it's okay.
Okay. So now I've got this same function, build post display, but now I've added classes to it. I've got a class thumb, a class name, class description. So I've added classes to it, and I have a style sheet that is pre-baked that I'm going to add to the application. Style.css. It's going to be up here. Oh, come on. Right, so all I did was add classes and add a style sheet. I didn't change anything else. Nothing up my sleeves. So we run the same code again. And now look at it. We have our scroll bar. We have things separated. The pictures are on the right side nice and neat. The names are bold. The replies are indented a little bit smaller, so the replies are separated out. So we were able to was this, Heather, does this look acceptable? I mean,
no? So far.
Okay, so far?
Kind of.
So you can see just by adding styles, you can make it look a ton better. And this is why everybody needs to, like, learn CSS, right? What's that? That's true. Got to have class.
So wait. While you were putting in comments for me, you spelled them wrong.
I spelled what? Your comments wrong?
Yes. So it looks like I spelled them wrong.
Hey. And what's your point?
Where do you live?
Arkansas.
I
do. So next thing we're going to do, we're going to make it, you have the picture's little thumbnail now. Well, we want to make it where when you click on the picture, it pops up that picture in a modal window so we can see the bigger version of that picture. So what I've got is I've got this function to show a picture. It's called show picture. Shocking, I know.
It's like they knew what they were doing.
You mean I knew what I was doing?
Yes.
Or we know what we're doing. So what I'm doing here is it's show picture takes an element, which is going to be your image element as a parameter, and it's going to call that dot modal. That's calling into that simple modal jQuery library, and you basically give that HTML, whatever HTML you give that library, it shows in a modal window. Excuse me. So that's what's going on there. And now...
So that modal window is just kind of like
it's an
in-page pop-up?
It's like basically a floating div, if you will. So now I'm going to go to the actual picture over here, and I'm going to do on click show picture this, right? So when someone clicks on the image, call the show picture function and pass to it this element. Pretty easy. Does that make sense? Something you would probably do?
Sure.
All right. So we run it.
I know you did something wrong.
Oh, another error. What does it say? A script attempted to inject dynamic
content. So this is
content.
Where that injection stuff comes in, right? So something
yes.
that was so simple before, or you could do before, a little bit more challenging.
Yeah, so it doesn't like us adding that on-click event dynamically, so we can't do that. We've got to find a different way to get that click event onto our image element. I wonder what we can use to do that.
I remember when it was called JavaScript.
It still is JavaScript. We're going to use some jQuery. Is that going to use jQuery? Thank you.
Mark loves him some jQuery.
Hey, it gets the job done. It pays my bills. So what we're going to do instead is after we're done building out the posts, we're going to go through with this jQuery here. It's this jQuery says, find every image with the class attached picture, and our image has the class attached picture, and attach a click function to it, and call the function show picture this. Make sense? So now when we run it,
what'd you do? I'm passing out energy.
Uh-oh. So now I should be able to click on it, and there, it shows the picture bigger. There's our little modal window. Yay, and there was much rejoicing. Thank you. This is my good picture for SharePoint anger.
Hey, you also bought 5-Hour Energies with black labels.
Well, it's not actually 5-Hour Energy.
It's like a 6-ounce projectile flying through.
Okay, so now we can show the pictures in a modal. Now I want to get the like working. So when someone clicks on like, it'll send that back to our client object model code, and that like will actually happen. So let's do that real quick. I'm going to have a function called likePost. And guess what it does? It likes posts. Oh, it actually likes replies too, but it's kind of the same thing. So you can see here, I am again using my element, and I'm going to get the attribute for the element, post ID. So we're going to get the ID of our post, we're going to store it in an attribute called post ID, and we're going to send that back to our client object model so it knows which post to like. And then we get that post back, it's going to find the closest div, the container that had the like, and it's going to post the updated like count for us. That's what that's doing there. All right. Now I'm going to add the like post link.
This button probably doesn't get a lot of work out on your feed, does it?
What's that?
Don't click this button too often.
Stop it. All right, so here we're doing here. You see I'm just adding a link with the class like link, passing in, creating an attribute called post ID, which is my post.id, and then like. And we learned from our previous time that I got to go through after the fact, and we'll go through using jQuery to add the function to the link.
Beautiful.
So when all is said and done, I'm going to go in and say, find every anchor that's of class like link, and add the click function to it of like post and pass that to it. All right? Make sense?
So far.
Okay. We run it. Drum roll.
Crash. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, we did crash. Unable to add dynamic content. A script attempted to inject dynamic content. Okay, genius, what was going on there?
I don't know, man. I think that's you.
All right, so what is going on here is you cannot use custom attributes sometimes with this stuff. It's going to say it does not like custom attributes. However,
HTML.
You can use HTML5 data attributes.
Nice.
So yeah, it's actually an easy one around this one. So we can come back to our code.
And you said the world would never adopt the HTML5.
I did not. So we come back to our post. It's such a smaller screen. Instead of having a post ID, all we have to do is change this to data-post ID. And then for our function, we're going to say get the attribute data-post ID. And it likes that. It should.
I like it.
Oh, if the like likes HTML5, right?
Careful.
So now I can like it. And there you see it changed it to when it liked it. So it's calling back to the client object model. It's giving the post back with the updated like count, and we're putting that in there for you. So now the likes work. All right. Something else you'll want to know about Windows RT development, you'll notice I haven't written any code to actually exit the application. With Windows RT, you generally want to just drag and close at the bottom of the screen. You don't actually write close logic unless you're doing some error handling or something to stop an error from handling. Just another free piece of information for you out there. You can put that somewhere important. All right. Now, let's finish off by adding the ability to create posts, create replies, and also get our full thread that we had before. So here we go. Here's some new script to look at. Is anybody's eyes crossing from all the code yet? No? Don't you like all the comments I put in the code? Isn't that great? Well, I didn't want to crowd the screen with comments, right? It's
already hard enough to look at.
Yeah. So we got... What's that?
Plenty of commentary up there.
Thank you. So we have a function called createPost. And what it's going to do, it's going to show a modal window for us that's going to have the information for our post. And it's going to set the value of the post ID to null specifically so we know it's a new post. We have a function for createReply. And this does the same thing. It's going to show that new post modal, but it's going to set the value of the post's ID so we know that it is a reply. So it's going to get that from whatever... We click add reply, it's going to pass the ID of that post to this function. Function to submit the post, we're just getting the text, the ID, and the URL. We're closing our modal window, and then we're calling the CSUM object method of create post. And whenever we get that list item back from the create post, we are going to prepend it as the first entry in our list.
So we want to show the most recent first.
Yes.
Good.
Excellent.
Thank you.
We also have our methods for get full thread. And you can see here, you just call get full thread, pass in the post ID for the thread you want. And then when that gets returned, you find, so remember our posts are list items. So I'm saying find the closest list item, which is going to be me, and then replace it with the new post. So it's going to overwrite what was there with our full post thread. And there you go. So now let's get our modal window in there. So this simple modal library allows you to create those windows dynamically by saying, here is your HTML I want to show in the modal display. And it also allows you to take a div that you have defined or any element that you've defined and show that as your modal display. So I have got this div here. You see its ID is new post. Its style is hidden. I don't want people to see this, but it's got the post text as a text area. It's got the text for the image URI, and it's got a hidden post ID, because they don't need to see that post ID, but I need it for my reply. Then it's got a submit button to call on click. Okay? So there we go. Let's run this. Did I forget anything?
Nope, you're good.
You sure? Is it going to crash?
Maybe. You built it.
Hey.
Sorry. It's true. Nice.
Yeah, isn't that nice? So now, you see we have our add reply link. So I can now click add reply.
Pretty little pop-up.
Say, woohoo, there's our pop-up with little animations even. And say, woohoo, there. And so our reply pops up.
You just woohooed the fact that you're losing your job.
What? Oh, I didn't see that.
Mark will be giving out resumes after
the
session.
So I do have business cards. You can scratch out the company name.
If you're interested.
So yeah, now let's say we want to add more replies so we get more than two. This is our second reply. Second reply.
Yeah.
If I could type. It's going to go up to the top because it's made the active one now. Let's add reply again to get a third reply.
So we're just showing we're getting past that two.
We're showing the get full thread. So now we've got three replies. And you can see it's only got the second and third reply here, but we do have a link for get full thread now. So you click get full thread, and now it's got our full thread for us. We get to see all three comments.
Nice.
Yeah, and that works nicely. Thank you very much.
And now, if you all look under your chairs, there's a free copy of this application for you to take. I'm kidding. There's nothing under your chairs at all. Maybe some
a new Surface.
Yeah. Actually, we have yours. We can give away.
Oh, you do not have. I left it in my room because I knew you'd want to do that.
Right. I would have given. I would have thrown it. All it's right. Black as well.
So that's basically the end of us building this application. But there's just so much more we can do with this. You can have access to the mentions, so you can show mentions. You can unfollow things. You can follow things. You can unlike things. I could have gone on and on and on forever. But this is going to be my side business, and I'm going to sell this at the Windows App Store. So
I would love to be like that great guy to be able to advance these slides for you.
But just think with this client object model, you could create your own Twitter SharePoint UI that's got your Twitter feed and it's got your SharePoint feed. And if there's an API for Yammer, you could have your Yammer feed there too and show it all together, even Facebook. And then you can get totally social overload and just freak out and drink more 5-hour energy.
So check it out. Here's a couple resources if you guys want to try to figure out how we did this or how Mark did this. You can go out and check this stuff out as well. You have anything else to add? That was pretty nice.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so this and these links are really great to just make you, basically walk you through a lot of things we did. You can also do things like asynchronous programming and events if you wanted to maybe have your news feed automatically reload itself. I had that reload button there because I ran out of time. But so there's just so much more you can do with this stuff.
So hey, everyone, seriously, if you even remotely enjoyed this, please rate the session a 5, obviously. Or if you hated the session, 5 is also the worst.
Yes, it is. This is true. Little known fact.
Literally, and I'm being completely honest, the only way we come back is if we get good ratings,
yep.
Right? So if you had any fun, if you want to see this type of stuff again and not have to sit through just a bunch of boring code, I mean, if you want to sit through this stuff and actually laugh and dodge black projectiles in a dark room, please go out, rate the session. You can either do it on your phone or one of the stands outside.
Yep.
Awesome. So thanks, everyone, for coming. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.